is your Sonicast.
Sonicast time with your people, Sonic G.
What's happening? DC is chilling.
And of course, we got the one and only's David Diggs and Rafael Casal.
Hey, hey.
From Blindspotting in the building.
What's that?
You know what I'm saying? Town-based movie that's out there in theaters. And, you know, for everybody else, I've gotten the backstory a little bit from DC because we were like, you know, what exactly is the movie about? But for everybody else who's tuned in, listening right now, and they want to know exactly what the film is about, you both look at each other like, who's going to tell the story?
We are going
to tell the story.
We got to trade this off.
Responsibility. I did it last time, so it's
his
turn.
Well, y'all tag team on it.
Yeah, he would be like, it's you.
Right.
This is a hometown story. I mean, we wanted to tell a story about Oakland and the Bay Area. So it follows around two characters, Colin and Miles. Davi plays Colin, I play Miles. This is the last 4 days of Colin's probation for a violent crime. So we're counting down towards his freedom. And on the third day before he's off, Colin and Colin alone witnesses a police killing an unarmed black man in Oakland. Mm. And so it's sort of about the wedge that drives between him and his best friend's friendship. They've been best friends their whole lives. And this is sort of the testing moment for them. But it's also sort of about the larger conversation about the city and what it means to be a city in transition with gentrification coming in and how we're getting policed and how we're talking about it. So we refer to it as a buddy comedy in a world that won't let it be one. So it's funny, but we don't ignore what's happening in the world.
Yeah, it's real issues going on, exactly. But also a real life friendship that's being displayed on the thing. I'm sorry. So you said a wedge is placed in between the friendship. I didn't catch that part.
Yeah.
What exactly happened?
I mean, they've been best friends their whole lives, right? They grew up in the same neighborhood, right next to each other. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they've had a very, very similar existence. But suddenly, the fact that Colin, for those who can't see, David, he black.
He black.
I'm white.
Black. I love your hair, by the way.
When Colin is, you know, now on probation and he's witnessed a police shooting, he's existing in a different context.
Right.
Miles has been the minority among the minorities his whole life, but now there's white people in the city, right? So his context is also changing. He's trying to hold on to his neighborhood and his identity. And so for the first time, these two have a wedge between them that's a lack of understanding of what each other are going through.
Because they're not looking at each other as friends anymore. There's like their skin color and society.
Because
and
other people are putting a bunch of stuff on them that they never had to put on themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
Yeah. So they're trying to figure out how to have that conversation with each other.
That's crazy. That's super deep and really like a whole lot of what's going on in the town. So that's dope that y'all put that on the big screen for people to really understand what's happening.
Yeah. And in that, trying to tell a bunch of other stories too. There's a lot of other characters that come in that you'll be like, oh, I know that dude. Oh, I know that.
Right. You know, I know D-Nass is in it, right?
D-Nass is popping up. Yo, you'll see a lot of familiar faces too.
If you're from the Bay, you'll recognize a lot of people.
Oh, man.
Okay,
it's just Easter eggs all day. Like, oh, I know that corner. I know that place. Oh, I know that joke. Oh, I've seen that. You know what I'm saying? We were trying to make a film that's for everyone, but if you're from the Bay, you get like 2, 3, 4 payoffs because you get all the inside jokes, right? It's a lot of inside baseball.
There's 38 Bay Area needle drops in the thing, like 30
really?
Like songs just popping up in, like, you know, buried in the back of scenes. And so many of those, we just had a big premiere at the Grand Lake, and so many of those artists came through and showed love. And, you know, it was really dope to have all the folks that we worked really hard to get represented in this film all come out and support and just enjoy it, like cheering when they song came on. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jay Stylin's got a track on there, like,
right.
Fabs on there, D-Lo's on there, Chippas, like.
I'm not going to try to get my feelings hurt, but we're going to have to do the classic radio voice scene when somebody's riding in the car down the street. Down Broadway or down Grand by Lake Merritt, and you're going to hear Sonic G in the background. You know what I'm saying? Next film, that's got
to
happen.
I need to slide that in one time. Understood.
The only reason it's not in this one is because they only ride around in a moving truck and the radio's broke. We made that decision 8 years ago.
I'm going to take that today. Moving
forward. Next time, they'll be a little further along.
Moving forward.
The radio works next time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's dope.
The crazy thing for me with watching the movie was authenticity, right? Because I mean, both of y'all are from the town.
Yeah, man.
And so you're telling a town story and you're from the town, whereas we've had experience in the past where we're like, oh man, you know, I know people who knew Coach Carter from Richmond,
right?
Who, you know, coached at Richmond High, and then the Samuel L. Jackson Coach Carter movie is coming out and we're like, yo, this is about to be dope. They're gonna tell this Bay Area story and everybody's like, yo, son B, what's going on? That's not Richmond, fam. You know, so like, being from here, why was it so important to y'all to give such authenticity to the town?
Man, I always refer to the Bay as like our own personal Whoville. like we got all these crazy little characters in this world, but like to everyone else, we're this small speck, right? They're not giving us that kind of attention. You're not right. looking closely at us. So I feel like we have these moments, we had this opportunity, man. We were like, you can count on one hand how many movies came out in the last, you know, 10 years that anyone outside of the Bay has heard of or seen, right? It was a big deal when Ryan Coogler landed a spaceship, you know, in the town. It's a big right? deal that Boots Riley just did Sorry to Bother You. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to continue that lineage in this moment that we're having where people are giving us a little bit of attention. And in those moments when the spotlight happens, it happened for 2 seconds during the hyphy movement, right? You get anywhere outside the Bay and they're like, oh yeah, I remember Tell Me When to Go. It's like, oh, y'all missed the other 100 hit songs right. that we loved during that period, because we didn't do enough to amp it up, and we right. didn't get enough of that attention back. So in this moment, if they're gonna look at us, we got to tell the full version of the story about ourselves, right?
There's
so
also
we wanted
like,
this to really be that local story.
And there's a part of representation on a larger scale that we think can kind of be a slowdown or a change in the way that gentrification happens, right? The thing about movies is if you come into a place and you shoot a movie there, you're investing in the way that place looks right now. You're
right.
investing in businesses that are already there. And so that's different than always investing in new things coming in that have nothing to do with the cultural history of the place, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really important to us to show Oakland as it really is in hopes that, you know, that what we know to be beautiful about it, what we know is actually the thing to be marketed about the town, can be something for people to latch on to and to want to keep safe as opposed to want to change all the time.
Yeah.
You both seem Mad Conscious. I mean, you made a whole entire film about trying to help level up everybody else to understand what's going on. So, I mean, with the housing situation and the prices,
yeah,
with the homeless population to where now they're building entire encampments, you know, in the streets.
Oh my God, like, I saw one yesterday that had a solar panel unit. I was like, oh, this is real. Y'all, we're moving in.
Oh, they know what's going on.
Yeah.
He's got like chimneys in the tent right now.
It's real.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And these tech people that are moving in and can afford to, you know, these prices where apartments at Lake Merritt used to go for like $600-$800. They're like at almost $3,000 for a one bedroom. And people who are born and raised here can't afford that shit. Period.
No.
So, you know, unfortunately, some of them are ending up on the street. They're moving to Stockton. They're moving to Fresno. They're moving to, you know,
Tracy.
Wherever the hell it is. Have you sat? Y'all spoke?
Huh?
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Have y'all sat around? Yeah. Have y'all sat around?
It's legal now. I'm sorry. yes, I do.
World family. It's my world family.
Have I was like, where am I?
You're on New York.
We've been in New York for a couple years. All
right.
It's not so legal
home?
There.
You at home right
yeah,
now,
we get
bro.
Right now.
Bro.
I was like, wait.
Yeah. You're on KML. You're home. You're good. Have y'all sat around and thought about answers or like, you know, damn, if we did this, if we did that, if the community came together and blah blah blah, if political leaders or mayors or whatever did this.
Well, it's funny, you know, you mentioned Stockton. So many of our original residents are moving to places like Stockton.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in the last few months with the mayor of Stockton, Michael Tubbs. 27-year-old black dude, right?
Yeah.
And an incredibly smart dude who is trying out a lot of really interesting things that I don't know anybody who has tried before. One of the things he's trying to accomplish is to get to have Stockton be able to pay for college for every kid who's from Stockton who goes through the public school system there. That's from a lot of business standpoints is a crazy kind of investment. People are like, well, what does that gain you in return? Michael's theory is that college is an economic level up, right? So that's going to eventually bring money to these people who now are proud of their city and want to come back and reinvest in the city. So the kind of investments you're getting in Stockton are from people who are from there, which keeps culture, right? Keeps culture sacred as opposed to changing it. So I've been talking to him a lot about things like that. He's also doing a bunch of trying to institute these programs where every resident gets
$500. We talked about that. Big news.
Genius stuff, right?
Yeah.
That nobody else is really trying in this country. Some of these things have been tried in Europe a little bit and having some success. And I think ideas like that by people in power, by folks in the mayor's seat are really, really exciting because that shows that people are actually thinking about this problem as opposed to just like, it's a problem, and then walking away, you know?
Yeah,
like,
living above it and just being like, oh, that's y'all's problem.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I'm running the city, still y'all problem.
Yeah.
I'm gonna figure out what's going on with these potholes or whatever else people are complaining about. You know what I'm saying? When we got people on the sidewalk. Like, it's crazy. Exactly. And, you know, it's just not going to get any better. We talked about how a lot in Palo Alto is going for $15 million. Yeah. It's
like
dirt.
With no house on it. 1 acre with no house on it.
It's dirt.
$15 million.
It's the gold rush right now, man. It's a business.
We're in San Francisco right now, and you see what happens. There's no, you know, there's no more middle class left in the city, right? That you can't. So what you have is the extremely wealthy and the homeless. There's nothing in the middle because you can't afford that. And there's no upper level to what you can charge for a piece of land out here or for a house in San Francisco. Yeah. If you own a place in San Francisco, you can charge, you can ask for any price.
Whatever you want.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
We talked, Raphael, about the process of the movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, just thinking like, yo, man, you know, you and David both wrote this movie together. And I was just thinking like, oh, man, this was maybe something a couple years ago, you know, that y'all were just like, I bet this is what we're going to do. So I was like, yo, how long has this process been? And he was like, 10 years.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. 10 years from, you know, pen to paper. 12 years as a thought process. Yeah. I mean, We talk about this all the time, but as artists, we're multi-hyphenates, man. We're doing music and theater and this screenplay and a bunch of other stuff all at the same time, but things take different lengths of time to get done. I mean, a movie is a fantastical idea to most people in the Bay, right? Again, like we don't do this. You can get a play done, you can get an album made, you can get an album on the radio. Like, that can happen here if you work the angles right. But we're not a film industry town. And so luckily we are really lucky that we're working on it.
Now I think officially almost we are.
This I mean year. Now
with Black Panther and y'all
triple the amount of shooting days in Oakland this year than any other year in the last 10 years.
People like, are always shooting films here. It's just like you don't this no if you see
but
the
now,
Golden Gate or
if
whatever.
We can get that visible. Yeah, we get the B roll shot, right? We get
exactly.
the wide
exactly.
right. And then they shoot Full House in LA, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the business isn't here, you know what I'm saying? But I think what we were always excited to do, and the reason we stuck with it for so long is, like, you know, we were all starting to work on other projects and other TV shows and movies and about whatever, you know, just to try to get other sort of more commercial things greenlit. But this is our like, look, if we get a chance to make anything, we should do this first. You know what I mean? If that's a part of our story, we should do that first.
I was asking DC. I was like, okay, so oh boy, Colin is who you play, mm-hmm. yeah. David. You're on probation.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be, y'all's friendship is in turmoil because of the changing ways. Where does blind spotting come in? Because I was like, so is this a crime that people, you know, commit to? And that's what he went away for, that I don't know, but is this some newfangled shit or what? You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand.
Damn, that's the first song that's been suggested. I love that. I think we should just start saying that. Start that's saying good. That.
Yeah.
What's the police
Sonogy exclusive
for
right there. You know that's our teaser.
You see why you need me? Understand what I'm talking about.
Exactly. So, you can package all our movies from now on. We good.
What is blind spotting and how did the film get named this?
So blind spotting, one of the characters in the film, who is Colin's ex-girlfriend, is named Val, played by Janina Gavankar, incredible actor. She is a psychology student, and she said, any of y'all who are you know, starting psychology class, probably in the first textbook you ever read, you see an image called Rubin's vase.
Okay.
And it's an image that if you look at one way, it's a vase. If you look at another way, it's two faces. And the idea behind it is that you are all of your experience up to the point when you see this condition, you just see one thing first. You can see the other thing, but you have to work for it. Once you're told that it's there, you can see it, but it's always going to be work. We wanted to make sure that the film had elements of language creation in it, right? Because that's very important to the Bay. We're very proud of our slang. So we wanted somebody to invent a new word in the film. And what Val is doing is creating new slang words as a way of memorizing her psych terms. And so the one she comes up with for Ruben's vase is blind spotting. And the reason we love it is because of the active work that empathy takes, right? Mm-hmm. For you to see the other side, you always have to work for it. It doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
You have to turn to see what's in your blind
yourself.
Spot.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's Val is using that, you're literally using that term just to memorize some psychology. but it has larger ramifications throughout the film. And when we started, you know, the title's always the last thing you decide on.
Right, right.
And there were some other options, but that one kept coming back up as the one that stuck. So
what were the other ones? I want to know. I want put me inside. What's
many, many years ago, this film was called Running Down.
Running Down for a long time with the original. Right now, the person who gets killed in the film's name is Randall Marshall. That's a throwback. So originally it was Randall Down. And we talked about Running Down as like the idea of like the chasing descent of right. a relationship sort of in turmoil. And then a reference to the character who got shot's last name.
And we had just written a song.
Running Down.
Yeah, you wrote a song too.
I mean, yeah.
10 years ago. But we have lots of songs. Actually, the first installment, this soundtrack's coming out in 3 installments. And the first one dropped today. So look for Blindspotting on your...
That's been the crazy thing about both of these cats. Like, and you know, years ago, like I remember the first time. Well, I had heard of Raphael because of like Prentice, like you know Prentice, like
he's
in the poetry scene and whatnot back in the day out here. And I remember like the homie was like, "Yo, you got to watch this video," and it was like a Bay Area slang video that he had put together that was like set to kind of the Grinch's song.
Yeah,
back in the day, and I remember like listening to it, being like, "Yo, this is dope," and then just running into this cat, and like one of the first conversations we had was like, "Yo, like the homie put me on this back in the day," you know what I mean, just super funny. But they both are talented in a bunch of different ways, like whether or not it's emceeing, you know, like David has had a group that he's worked with before clipping, out here and then
The Get Back, which we were both in way back in the day
for a while,
and then like you guys said, like theater, you know what I mean, and now film is just crazy because now not only are you putting out a movie, you guys have the soundtrack that just dropped with like Bay Legends on it.
Yeah, I mean the whole, you know, again, everything was just like an homage back to the Bay. It's like, cool, let's tell this great Bay Area story. Let's make sure there's a bunch of Bay Area music. And then we, you know, we're musicians at heart. That's sort of our upbringing. So we were like, well, cool. Now we'll do this soundtrack that we'll be on, but let's reach out to a bunch of Bay artists that we want to get on it. So the first one we locked in was 40, which really helped us sort of get around to everybody else. And a lot of the people that were at the premiere last night or on the project were sort of like in the process of finishing up now, but the first pod has Fab and Keanu Lede and E40 on it. We got a bunch sort of slated for the second and third, but we just wanted to feel, you know, if we have, again, the megaphone, if it goes out, if we're on the major label and we got the thing, you know, going around to with the film, like how many artists can we put everybody else on in this moment where we got a little shine? I was just showing him right now the New York Times. We're in the front of the Arts and Leisure section
on the New York Times.
New York Times today. Somebody, we're starting to get pictures of it on the East Coast
in front of Taco Sinaloa.
Yeah, bro. And Taco Sinaloa retweeted that shit.
Yeah. Like, it's come up for us.
We're like, the taco truck ignited.
So what that means is free tacos forever.
I hope.
You know, I'll take it.
They didn't tag my name in it, so maybe they don't know who I am.
Damn it!
But they put the picture.
But you don't recognize my face.
Yeah, you remember me. Look right here. I would like the burrito.
I feel like the Bay has been a pot that so many different areas of the world, lifestyles, social, political, whatever, people pull from constantly.
We're source material for other people's stories.
For everybody. And then they take it and they make it their own. So I think it's dope that, you know, people like yourself, like Ryan, like whatever, make sure that they say, yo, this shit came from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And if you've seen this before, guess what? It came from the Bay Area then too. Right. So it's just dope. And I hope that you guys continue to do your thing, because there's so many issues, not only just here, but in society, politically, in the world, that need to be addressed, that all translate right back to what we're dealing with here. I mean, it's not like we're better than anybody else or that, you know, we're doing things special. We do them different, I would say. And people would love to see it. So I think, you know, it's dope that you continue to do what you're doing. Let's make another film. I'm sure you're writing already.
Trust.
Are you writing already?
Yeah.
The script's already in the works?
Oh, yes. A number of them.
And what's great about right now is that we have we're in a bit of a moment. Hollywood's a funny place, and doors open for 6 months at a time, maybe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I did Hamilton, and all of a sudden, every door in Hollywood was open to me. I was walking into all these rooms. Now we're having another one of these moments where the doors are open. We have so many stories. A lot of them Bay Area stories to tell, and people genuinely want to hear what the stories are. So we're getting to go in a lot of rooms with that had locked doors before and just be like, here's another dope thing that we could tell about the Bay. And depending on how the film does, on how much support it gets, you know, if all of a sudden that becomes, if people can see dollar signs associated with that too in that town, because realistically, like, a lot of Hollywood is structured around dollar signs. I will say, you know, we've been working with these same Hollywood-based producers for 10 years for no money. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's dope.
So not
because
all,
they see something in it, though.
Exactly. Yeah. But a lot. And that makes even more doors fly open. So we'll see. If dollar signs become associated with working and telling stories about the Bay Area, that's a good look for the Bay Area. So
I mean, I think y'all know what you're doing. And I just, you know, wish you all the success.
Thank
and
you
continue.
So much.
You know,
thank
don't
you
don't
much.
Stop working. And it doesn't seem like either one of you have a plan to do that.
No.
So I think it's big. And I, you know, respect what you're doing.
It's crazy because, like, David, like, over the past couple of years, like, you say don't stop working. Like, it seems like this cat is, like,
always working.
Netflix show. Then it's, like, right. Blackish. Then it's, like,
but you know what, though?
Executive producing The Mayor. And then it's, like,
the
yo.
Same,
like,
it's the same hustle.
It's the exact same hustle.
You know? It's, like, we've been working like this for 10 years. It's just like projects don't get the same, but you know, we're so used to doing projects that like do a little something, but that's it. We're just excited now that like these things get this kind of visibility, and like what does that mean for what we can do for the community artists that we love so much, right? That's where we're at now. Jig's got all kinds of things lined up for the next like year or two. Like, this is gonna be good. Yeah. It's gonna be a good time.
It's gonna be a good year.
I love it. I'm filming y'all on Instagram. I'm sorry.
Cool.
So I'm focusing on my filming skills rather than my mouthpiece. My bad. But I got both.
And you got director credit on that.
There you go. I love it. All right. Well, I appreciate y'all making the time to come through. And you know, you this is home, so you welcome whenever you want to come through.
Thank you, son. We don't take you up on that a whole lot.
However you need my wheel, you take it. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for you all the time. DC, I know, has always been down with y'all. So it's fam all day. So I appreciate y'all coming through. Sonicast, make sure you subscribe to that free iHeartRadio app. Go ahead and hit the iTunes or the podcast button on your smart device. And listen to the Sonic G Morning Show Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on KML. We'll holla.